This is Roland Chidiac Connects, a podcast about motivation and inspiration. Ever wonder what drives people to do what they do? Join me as I connect with a variety of people who have great stories to tell about what inspires them, ignites their passions, and leads them to make a difference in their work and the people around them. Jonathan So, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a long time coming. I told you about the podcast when I started it, and I believe that when I told you about it, your third child was not born yet. Am I correct?
That would probably be correct. Yeah, he was born 3 months ago.
Okay. So what was the day, if you remember?
August 24th.
Okay.
It's a blur. It was at 3 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, like I lost a day somewhere in there.
Well, I was going to say, I started this before that. And so, you're right. I just remember you saying we were talking about this project and, I said, I'm definitely going to have you on. And you're like, yeah, okay, well, it'll have to wait because, I'm having a baby and things are going to get crazy. And, it's the end of November, so you're right. Things were crazy, and we're finally getting a chance to chat.
Things are settling down.
Still That's crazy. Good. I'm happy to hear that. Of course. Well, you have three kids now, so it's what? Well, how would you describe it now?
Controlled chaos.
And okay,
isn't that all parenting?
When it was just two, what would you call it?
Controlled chaos.
Okay. Fair enough. So, I've known you for a little while now. We met face to face a few years ago, probably two and a half at the GAFE Summit in Kitchener, correct?
Yeah, that'd be correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And, ever since then we've been tight talking pedagogy, parenting, holy cow, all kinds of stuff. We've covered all kinds of stuff over that time period.
You name it, we've done it.
That's right. Tell us what you do for a living.
So I teach at Ray Lawson Public School in Peel. It's a balanced calendar. I teach grade 6 currently, but I've taught from grade, I think when we first met, I taught grade 2. And now I'm grade 6.
Right. And okay, so before grade 2, what did you teach?
Grade 4, 5, various other schools. Yeah, so a lot of junior.
And how many years have you been teaching?
This would be my 10th year. Goes by quick.
Yeah, and you're still a rookie. I got more time on you. I didn't think that would be the case.
Yeah, you got a little more time on me.
I got 16 under my belt.
Hey. I should be bowing down to you.
Yeah, right.
It goes down so quick. Like it's amazing how fast when you reflect back on it.
Yeah, for sure. Some years are faster than others too.
Yep.
Okay, so what got you into teaching?
What got me into teaching? So I never wanted to, I didn't always want to be a teacher. my dad maybe wanted to be an accountant because, you know, to him that was the real job. And so while I was in first year university, I volunteered with my, then not my mother-in-law, but, you know, turned out to be my future mother-in-law, and volunteered there for 5 years and went from just love teaching kids and it never looked back.
5 years you volunteered in a school?
Yeah, during my whole university, my undergrad, I volunteered. I was probably at the school more than I was at the university.
Wow. And you just... When was it in the time you were volunteering where you're like, I'm going to give this a shot. I think I like this.
It was probably when I failed calculus in the first year.
Oh, wow.
Things work out for a reason. Like it's really interesting to see how things work out. So, you know, I went into University of Toronto for being an accountant, planning to be a CA. I picked the wrong calculus course. I picked science calculus instead of the business calculus. And so I ended up with a 48% because I wasn't allowed using calculators, but I tutored all my other friends in business calc. And yeah, because of that one class, I turned everything around and said, I'm going to be a teacher. And here I am 10 years later and loving every moment of it.
I got two questions that come from the calculus. Number one, how did your dad feel about you leaving the accounting? And number two, how devastated were you that you had failed a university course?
Not as devastating as you think. It was pretty eye opener. So when I now as a teacher and as a parent, I'm like, okay, kids, smarten up or you're going to end up like me sometimes. But, it was a good eye opener, to see that and have it happen. I forgot the first question. That's what happens when you give me two questions.
No problem. And I have to remember them. So it's, you know, trying for me too. Your dad, what was your dad's reaction?
Well, he didn't have much. I mean, I paid for my university. So, he kind of was like, well, this is your decision, so be it. But I think now looking back, he's even more proud of me being a teacher and doing everything I'm doing. And he let me go do the thing that I needed to do. And it's funny, when I talk to my mom, she's like, I always saw you as a teacher.
Oh, wow. That's pretty neat.
Yeah. But no, my dad wasn't devastated, but you know, I think for the first couple of years of university, like teacher's college, he was kind of like, I don't know about this thing. Mm-hmm. But after that, you know, definitely now he's like, yeah, he's pretty proud of the fact that I'm a teacher.
What about, okay, so it's kind of funny that you tutored your friends in math in university or helped them out, and you end up failing calculus by a couple of percent. And now, when I think of you, I think of the work that you do around numeracy. I think of the work you do around coding and just tech integration in general. So have you always been someone who's interested? Oh, and you've got a master's in mathematical education, correct?
That's correct. Yep.
So you're kind of surrounded by math. Have you always kind of had a love for math?
Well, being of Asian descent, no stereotypes here, but math was, yeah, I've been always part of my life. I always say that I could always do math. You know, like I had the fact fluency, it was always ingrained in me, but to teach mathematics is a total different beast. And I don't think it was until I volunteered and seeing kids develop mathematical ideas and develop a sense of math that I really was like in awe of mathematical mathematics as a teachable. And then the more I studied it, the more I just continued to fall in love with it. Like it is just one of those beautiful languages to think about and to see a child like go through that journey is kind of really cool and interesting.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about the talk you did a short while ago for your school board. It was directed towards parents and it was about math, was it not?
Yeah, so it was our parent conference. 15 the board does it every year and they have about 1300 to 1400 parents attend to it. And it's come from literacy to now numeracy, being that the board's focus in many places. And so my talk was making our kids doers of math instead of just doing it. And so my whole philosophy was that I fear that we, as an education, as a society, are sending our kids to just do things at school. And the kids come because they're told and mandated and have no other choice, but they just come to class and sit down and do something because they're told to do it and not really embody the learning and make it their own. And so what happens is that they go out to the workforce and they just continue doing stuff because that's what they're expected of them. Instead of, you know, what I think this world really needs to change is to have people and kids and being to change the world and being able to affect it and to be to understand and embody all the learning that happens with it.
How long do you think it took before you were able to kind of formulate this philosophy and integrate it into your teaching?
Oh, it's been a journey, 10 years. I still reinvent it and I still rethink it. I mean, like volunteering for 5 years was a big eye opener. I remember the conversations I had with the principal, and to be honest, she was my very first principal. I was able to My very first job was working in the school I volunteered at. It was a really cool experience to see. But I mean, I remember walking into the math class and being like, come on, just tell them the rule and let them move on. Like, this is just math. This is the way it is. Like, this is how you do it. And she's like, I don't know, Jonathan, what do you think about? And she always had a question. Like, every time I put forth an argument, she had a question to it. And she's like, read this now, and then come back and talk about this. Read this, talk about this. And so, it started there. It started re really seeing kids problem solve, manipulate questions, being able to like investigate. And then, I've come from like swinging myself to, here's the rule, do it, to like, okay, let them explore, to guided, more guided practice, questioning, to now it's like, okay, my learning goal is here. I know my learning goal. But now it's like, how do I get my kids to think about the learning goal without them realizing that I'm the one telling them that this is the learning goal? Roundabout confusing way. But I mean, it's that mastery art of making kids learn without having them realize that I've been making them learn. And to even now being like throwing out grades and like having them really embody the curriculum and understand what they're learning and why they're learning it and where their next steps are and how do I get there and what do I need to do in order to get my goals. And it just keeps moving to coding, to tinkering, to makerspace, to just being a learner for the sake of learning, not for the sake of I'm in school and I'm told to learn, but because I want to learn.
The reason why I asked that question is because I feel as though a lot of people, they meet people who are skilled in an area or really interested in an area and are kind of fluent in that area. And I think people forget that that person once started somewhere along the journey. So I just kind of wanted to delve into that, go down the road of how long it's taken you to get to that. And it's just one of those things that you need to uncover as you peel off the layers, right? So it's really neat to hear. Like, I didn't know that you had volunteered in a school for that long before you ended up becoming a teacher. So I just learned that today talking to you. And I always enjoy talking to you about numeracy. It's not and teaching it. It's not a strength of mine. It's something that I'm starting to kind of delve into because it's the direction that even my board's taking and my school's taking. So I feel like I need to be part of that journey. But it's not a comfortable one for me. So I recognize that it's a difficult task, but it's not one that I shy away from. I welcome it, and I look forward to, if I talk to you next year at this time, talking about my understanding of teaching mathematics. And every day I learn a little bit more about how to be more effective in teaching it to my students and in letting my students teach it to me. So thank you for answering that question and for considering it and to kind of taking us through. So we know, okay, well, maybe we don't know. You're a father of three young children. Your people who know you know that when you do something, you go full out 110%. Where do you find the motivation and the inspiration to be so, I don't even know what word I want to use, like just to go all out all the time? It takes up a lot of energy, and you've got a home life that requires a lot of energy. So what gets you going?
Loaded questions always, huh? No, I don't know. I think really it just comes down to being a learner myself. Like, this is just who I am. This is the way that my parents taught me to be. If I wanted to go do something, you go do it. Like, you just set your mind to it and you do it. But I think deep down inside, I just want to make our education system a better, like, to improve, to make our profession a better profession, to and I just love learning. I love learning about everything, no matter what it is.
That's awesome. So you've always kind of had that that need to know, to go after things and figure them out.
Yeah, I said this in my talk. You know, my dad. It's interesting coming from. So I'm a second generation Canadian. My dad came here when he was 13 years old from Canada. My grandfather had to go actually to Britain to work. And so my dad was the man of the house from the age of 13. My grandmother took 6 kids from Hong Kong, traveled into British Columbia, and then kept going on to Toronto. But to my dad, the way he learned was, well, I need to learn it, so I'm going to go and learn. And so then that's exactly the way he taught me. It was, you don't know this? Well, go and learn it and have a moment to see it. And then we'll see how it goes from there.
So, Jonathan, what would you say to people who are unmotivated or just can't find inspiration anywhere?
I think, you know, like, you just have to find inspiration in the littlest things sometimes. You know, I look to my daughter for a lot of inspiration a lot of times, starting with, you know, when she started school. It was an interesting experience that I've never... When I first started teaching, someone said to me, like, oh, just wait till your father, you know, things will change. And I'm like, okay. So Izzy came along and nothing really changed. You know, I was the same type of teacher. And then Izzy goes to school. And for the first time, I realized what it was like to be on the other side of the fence. And, you know, I constantly think about what would it be like, you know, what type of teacher do I want for my daughter? You know, and that's the type of teacher I want myself. So I think, you know, for people who are who feel like in a rut, in a spot where, you know, things are getting them down, I think you just have to look for the positives in anything you can find. Look for the small inspirations that you have around you. Internalize your learning. You know, why did you become a teacher to begin with? What was it that started this whole journey process? What really motivates you to learn? Why should you be a learner? And the same goes for our students, right? If we're just here to do a job, to be a teacher, then I think we're in this profession for the wrong reasons, and I think we're going to get burnt out. But I guarantee you, when we all started this thing, we didn't start out because we're like, ooh, teaching sounds easy. You know, we started it because we felt that teaching was going to make a difference. And so I think just motivate yourself knowing that you make a difference every day.
Do you see things differently now that you've got 3 children and you're a teacher?
Oh, I see. Yeah. there's so many little things that I've changed. Actually, a lot of big things, you know, like learning about self-regulation, learning about collaborative problem solving from Dr. Green and Stuart Shanker's work on self-regulation has just been one of those moments in your life, in your teaching, that is just revolutionary. Like there's you probably can find like 5 or 6 as you go through your career that just change who you are. And this is one of those defining moments. You know, Izzy's a difficult child. She's not, you know, she's very headstrong, very creative, very, and she has her difficulties. And so, you know, it's taught me to appreciate each kid for what they have, appreciate them for their goals and for who they are. And it's also taught me to, notice kids' own self-regulation. And it's an interesting, it's a very cool like moment when you can recognize before a kid is about to blow up, that they're about to blow up, and you can stop it, and you can talk to them rationally in that calm moment, so that they never do it again. And yeah, there's, it's a pivotal, been pivotal as you go into school.
I can attest to some of that, having two young kids in school. It does, things change and you start to learn about how to deal with particular situations. And it only adds more tools in your teacher toolbox. So I can see how it's beneficial. Not to say that people who don't have children and are teachers are not, I'm not saying anything about their practice. It's just,
Oh, no.
it's different. Like, it's just different to deal with certain things with your personal children and have it not affect the things you do at work as a teacher. So it's cool that, it sounds to me like you've grown a lot and your children help you reflect on your work. And then I'm sure your work helps you reflect on your children too. Goes both ways. When you
Both ways.
talked, when you talked about self-regulation, it reminded me of a mutual friend we have, Aviva, and she's been doing a lot of reading lately about self-regulation. So it's kind of cool that you would bring that up, and I would make that connection to her. It's really neat to learn from her from that perspective as well over Twitter.
Yeah. Oh no. Her blog posts, and she's been training with the Merit Center too, with Stuart Shankard. And it's honestly been one of those. His book has been one of those defining moments where you look at you. I look at kids differently now. Not and, and it started with Izzy, but I honestly look through a totally different lens. You know, when I first started teaching. You know, just like parenting, when you first started parenting, you rely back on the toolbox that you have. And that toolbox was my dad's parenting style, and going from there. And now it's totally, it's about staying calm, about keeping yourself regulated as adults, and then just reaching out and building trust with each kid. And when you have that trust built with them, it's amazing what turnaround you can have with them. And his philosophy, I look back and I go, I think back to the kids I've had, and I'm like, oh, if I only knew what I knew now, then I wonder what differences or possibilities could have happened. But
Yeah. Hey, listen, thanks a lot for talking to me today. I really appreciate it.
anytime.
It's too bad it took 3 months, but hey, better late than never, right?
Oh, we'll talk again later on, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I'm sure it's some of the people I've already spoken to, they've said like we can't wait to talk to you again in, I don't know, like 8 to 12 months and kind of get a feel for where we're at now. So it's kind of neat that some people have said that after listening to their talk with me, they've taken some time to reflect on the things that they do and the way that they operate, and they'd love to see and revisit that later on in time. So I suspect you would be one of those people for sure.
Oh, for sure. You should get all of us back
That'd be
in
cool.
one podcast.
Oh. I don't know if I could do that, but that'd be interesting. Imagine all these people wanting to talk at the same time, be kind of crazy. So you enjoy the rest of your time before you hit the sack, and I'll be in touch soon.
Good. Take care.
See ya. You too.